and welcome to How To Medieval, the how-to or two guys show you how to do it between the two of them. My name is Ari.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're going to talk about gift giving. Specifically, you have a living history person in your life. Either you are the living history person and your uninvolved spouse has no idea what to get you because they don't understand what you do and you want to help them out, so you make them listen to this episode. Or you have a family member who's also into it, or you have someone in your living history group that deserves a gift of some sort, and you're trying to come up with that last minute little idea that you can shove into a stocking, doesn't require a whole, doesn't have an anticipated long lead time, and it can really round out and be useful for someone and not yet another thing that people put on a shelf because they got a gift but have no purpose.
And we always say with any of this, of course, if the person you're getting this for is part of a larger group, always check with the group first to make sure what you want to get them is something that can actually be used in that group. A lot of these things, though, we're going to put out there today for you, they're sort of medievally ubiquitous. I mean, you can find them used through a number of different eras. Stylistically, things might change a little bit, but they're always sort of around in the background, and they make little sort of great background items to add to things.
True. And if you are the non-living history person who's been subjected to this episode because you care a lot about a living history person who's a dork about medieval stuff, I'm proud of you. Thank you for doing this. So, what would you say is probably what is the first thing that pops to your mind when we're talking about what is a great last-minute stocking stuffer to get your medieval friend, family, whomever?
The first thing that pops to my mind, and it's actually something fairly easy to get or even make if it's something that somebody wanted to make, is a wax tablet. Uh-huh. And a wax tablet is basically it's a flat or slightly raised edged piece of wood that has wax that's been melted into it and then hardened. And what they used to do is they used to use these to write on. Or make notations on or marks on while they were doing stuff like inventory or things like that. So, and then what you do is when you erase it, you either just scrape the wax off or remelt it down and it becomes a usable surface again. You flatten it out. So you can actually get these things anywhere between like $15 to $25 to $30, depending on what quality you want. You can even get them off of Amazon. That's how easy they are to find, really. You just type in medieval wax tablet and they pop right up. So that's something that's great. They're fit into a stocking. They're about the size of like a paperback, maybe a little larger, but they'll fit into a stocking or they'll be nice flat and something that you could hide under the Christmas tree or in the Christmas tree or make a great Hanukkah gift because they're supposed to be small gifts every night. So they make a great Hanukkah gift that you could give out or lighten the menorah. They really work for Kwanzaa. They really work for anything. So it's all of these things could work for any of those that we're going to mention today. But wax tablets, that's the first thing that pops to my mind.
So I have this problem where I have the, I don't know if you'd call it the benefit or the curse of thinking of like lots of things identically at the exact same time. And so my head gets all swirly with things at once, because when the first thing that comes to my mind, I can think of like half a dozen things depending on what your circumstances are. And then, of course, I had the entire time listening to you talk about the wax tablet to come up with more and more ideas. But when I really lean towards what is the best thing that you could get someone that would honestly benefit them no matter their impression, whether they're high class, low class, armored, unarmored, have a profession, have like every single person who is in the medieval hobby and wears medieval type clothes could use a couple more arming points. And I know it's boring and I know it's simple, but they're small, they're inexpensive, and you will never not need another one because they break at the most inopportune times. And I don't even know, there's something to be said for a wardrobe malfunction doesn't always have an opportune time, but you can never rely. Never rely on your arming points. Always have a spare because they will break on you. And so since everyone always needs more and they're the kind of boring thing you don't think about, because when you go online and look at all the cool, fancy, expensive, neat things, you the arming points drop to the bottom of the list and you only buy them when you need them desperately. So I think you can never, ever go wrong getting someone a pair of arming points or a dozen arming points.
And they don't have to be boring either.
there's some companies that sell really nice ones that have nice sort of brass shapes on the end, or egglets, wherever you want to call them. They come in different colors. You can get multicolors. So you could get, like, if you have somebody who really wants to, is really into showing off their, you know, heraldic colors there, they can get them in their colors to match everything they do. So they don't have to be boring.
No, you have a good point. Them themselves are not necessarily boring per se, even though, depending on the impression, a lot of times if you see them, then you're showing off too much of your clothes, right? Like, they're supposed to be kind of hidden and they hold your garments together. But what I mean by boring is that they're just like a really simple, non-flashy, there's no pizzazz to them. There's no whiz-bang to an arming point. It's just like something you need. It's like buying someone's shoelaces. I'm certain that, you know, there's teenagers out there tickled pink with fancy curly multicolored shoelaces, but that doesn't change the fact that, like, shoelaces are kind of like a thing. The shoes are cool, but the laces are
I'm gonna come clean on something. I don't actually own a pair of real arming points.
You just have lots of shoelaces.
So years ago, and I'm talking like 15 years ago, a place up here, a leather shop up here in Maine, was selling a box of 3,000 boot laces.
Oh my goodness.
That were in my colors, were in my heraldic colors. They're dark blue and gold. So that was for $30. So I bought it. I still have this box of boot laces, and I use these things on everything, and I probably still have 2,000 boot laces left in this box.
Oh my goodness. You definitely don't have to go hunting for largesse.
No, I could give bootlace. I could give bootlace points there, and they work. For what I use them for, they work fine. Just if you're a stickler for, and I usually am a stickler for accuracy, but if you're a real stickler for accuracy, don't get too close to my arming points, because you won't like them.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be some indication that leather points may or may not have been used, but then again, like, we use a lot of cowhide and. Yeah. Pig leather was more common, and goat leather was more common and affordable, because the thick, heavy cowhide was kind of an industrial resource. Like, a yoke needs to have super thick hide, you know, if you're making a thing for a plow. And so I wonder how well thinner pig skin would hold up to being an arming point versus what we would think of, like, chrome tanned or vegetable tanned leather. So I wonder if we, as a general rule, overuse leather because we have access to a higher quality of leather than they would have been able to rely on. So they ended up using tablet weaving and cordage for other small stuff, because you can make it a lot stronger than you can a thinner leather tie. But they still look okay. You know, they pass that. A leather lace passes the 6-foot test. It looks medieval enough.
Well, these are like cotton boot. These are cotton boot shoelaces.
I got it in my head. You said from that leather. Gold.
I don't know where they got them from, but that's
So they're just, well, that's okay.
Yeah,
it'll look all right.
They look fine. Again, if you're so close that you can see them, then
there's a different conversation.
There's a different conversation to be had. Speaking about leather, though, that leads to sort of gloves. Good quality gloves, or especially for, like, sewing into your gauntlets. I mean, I blow out a pair of gauntlet gloves every year, so. Getting a good quality pair of gloves to sew into gauntlets would be a fantastic gift.
It's a little more expensive, but I've been keeping my eye out somewhere for a pair of kids, like, actual goat kid skin gloves to get that proper white that you see in a lot of illustrations. You see a lot of white gloves out there, and it's, from what I've understood, people say it's because goat skin naturally blanches white as part of the tanning process, and that they're, you know, more supple. But I've been looking out for a pair of white gloves for Living History for a very long time. So if someone needs to put gloves in my stocking, those pair of white kidskin ones would be choice.
Also, for a pair of gloves, you know, in the winter, it's Christmas. Those fun three-fingered medieval mitten gloves.
So funny looking, but they're glorious.
They're awesome. I got a pair actually last summer from a company overseas. That was having a big summer, like summer sale. It's like, I know it's 90 degrees out, but I'm going to buy these gloves because I want them and they're on sale. So I got a nice wool pair, and they're great. They're a lot of fun. They're really, again, one of those not too expensive items out there. They'll probably a little more up there. They're probably in the $40 to $50 range, but mm-hmm. they make a great gift for people, and you can stick them in the top of the stocking, and they're sort of poking out, and watch people get, you know, they see those, they'll be like, ah, cool.
I'd say, ah, cool. That's for sure. If Though, they intuitively, I'd be like, ooh, warm, if you really thought it through, but yes, those would be pretty cool. So I think there's going to be a theme around some of these gifts that are, you know, as they come to my head, ornamentation. So we talk about conspicuous consumption and wearing your wealth on your back. So there's a lot of little bits of bling, suffice to say, that especially higher class medieval people wore to really up the look of their entire outfit that sometimes seem to fall through the cracks. So another great little stocking stuffer is to get like tassels or bells, small little fiddly things that people don't tend to make for themselves, or clothes aren't traditionally made with them. And these are things that you can add aftermarket to garments and sort of bring up the status of an outfit for someone you know is trying to portray something of the high middle class or the gentry.
Pilgrim badges, like cast pilgrim badges, are great. They're small. They're usually not too expensive, and you can hang them on the tree like an ornament. You can mm-hmm. put them in the stocking. They make great like additions to the after the fact of just pin them on your hat or your hood or your clothes somewhere, and you're good to go. Paternosters make great little gifts for somebody who doesn't mm-hmm. have them.
Yeah. And a lot of these things that are fun, like especially when you're talking about paternosters and pilgrim badges, you don't even really need to hunt these down, in that I think almost every major maker of medieval stuff has like a miscellaneous sutlery section of their site. Yeah. And almost everybody has badges or livery patches or paternosters that you can pick up. And so that's something you could also pick up like on the tail end of a major purchase that you're making. So you're getting a doublet made through Historic Enterprises. You can always throw in a couple things and just sort of ride that shipping that you're already paying and get a couple nice little bits and things. And so you don't even have to go make another separate order to be able to get your hands on some of those things. Because those things you talked about, the pilgrim badges and the paternosters, are things that I know I've seen on almost every single website, pretty much, that you go to, unless they're very, very niche, kind of sell one thing only.
Definitely. And Etsy, all you got to do is type in medieval badges or something, and hundreds of pages that sell them pop up. So it's they're easy to find. Really, it's just figuring out which one you want.
True. And it also kind of depends on how crafty the person you're buying for is, because especially on Etsy, it reminds me of, they sell a lot of tablet woven just strips, tapes, belts. I don't know what the best nomenclature is, but you can get, you know, various widths, different patterns, colors, silk or wool. You can get a lot of that, and then you give that to somebody who knows what they're doing with it. Those can be turned into trim and embroidery. They can be turned into belts. They can be turned into garters, depending on how much stuff they have. And actually, garters themselves is a pretty good addition to this list.
Oh yeah, garters would be a great addition.
Super handy.
One thing I always like, I don't really wear glasses, and I have reading glasses in real life, but I'd love to get a set of the wooden framed medieval glasses that they have out there, because I just think those are really, really neat. They're an interesting detail that people see, because, you know, a lot of people, you'll go to an event and they'll be like, oh, people with bad eyesight, they are out of luck because there was nothing that could be done about them. And you're like, aha. No, that's not true. I have glasses.
True. Now, I suppose there's something to be said for it might extend your intellectual lifespan, but they're not the easiest to wear, like, in combat. So there are definitely limitations to having poor eyesight in period. But yeah, the idea that you're just sort of like, you may as well pack it in and go once your eyesight's gone, that's not really how people behaved, especially by the high Middle Ages.
Exactly. It's just one of those great sort of myth-busting objects you can have on hand if somebody starts talking about things like that.
And I mean, you can like, you pinky up when you hold them on the brow of your nose, and then you like look down, look down at people and use that smug air of a superiority, like, oh, mm-hmm. and you like regard you closely with my spectacles. Yeah, there's a lot of fun you can have.
What else?
Or you tie them to your face.
Exactly.
Like goggles.
Like, I like the goggle. I mean, I like the wooden ones that you sort of have to hold up, but the goggle ones are fun too, just because they look ridiculous.
Yeah. You know what they remind me of? They remind me of, you know, in like D&D, the gnomes are always like the steampunk tinker race. And they've always got like the weird goggles with the gears on the side. Yeah, that's what it makes me think of.
So something that, if you're in the SCA, something that is really big in the SCA is having tokens or favors that you can give to people who you think are cool. Or say you would go to an arts and sciences display and you want to show, you know, leave a little something of appreciation as a token for the person who's displaying. So getting people just little things that it could be almost anything, you know, little medieval coins, anything, especially if it has something to do with, like, you know, some sort of badge or something that goes with them. So getting them these little things that they could leave as tokens for other people, that's a great thing for the SCA, because I know that's a huge, huge thing that people love to do when they're at events.
Well, that's cool. Like a calling card, kind of?
Yeah, basically. The SCA is weird in a way, in a lot of ways. But so they do actually do like SCA calling cards where people have almost like business cards with their names put on them and contact information and basically saying, you know, thank you for whatever. And they put that down, and it's a way for to stay in touch and things like that. So if somebody wants to talk to somebody, they can stay in touch. Mm-hmm. I put off for the longest time having anything like that because I'm like, this is a business card. That is like the most unmedieval thing ever. But it does come in handy if you're at an event and you might not necessarily get to speak to the artist whose stuff you're looking at. You can leave your calling card and hopefully touch base with them at some point. But I also had made up Dan Taus, who runs bespokepewter.com. He does pewter casting and all sorts of other casting. But he made me these great replica coins that have a star on one side and an A on the other side. And it's, you know, in the SCA, I'm Alexander Clark, and I have stars in my heraldry. No, it's just, and he made me these little tiny coins, and they're actually replicas of existing coins that just happened to somehow fit what I wanted them to be. So he's got some great stuff, and he could do stuff like that for people too. And they make great, great stocking stuffers gifts, and they make great, you know, you leave it. It's like a little gift that you leave a friend or somebody who impresses you with their stuff. So it just makes them feel special. It makes them feel good.
Like that. Now, speaking of pewter, we find a lot of pewter jewelry and ornamentation in addition to pilgrim badges. You'll find things like pendants made out of pewter, and you'll find other small bits and pieces that you can use. And that's one nice thing about jewelry that isn't like a ring. Like, one, rings existed, obviously, but something like a pin or like a little pinacular brooch or a badge, those are things that you don't even have to like get the size right. So say this is a gift for somebody who you don't have intimate knowledge of their ring size or what finger they would want to wear a ring on in the first place. You can find things that will be able to ornament their life, their medieval life rather, without having to make a mistake. And that's why I'm not going to be talking about pretty much any clothing item on this list. One, because even though, well, okay. So talking about clothing items, the last thing we want to do is encourage people to fall into the bad trope of buying someone socks for Christmas. Like, that's just a joke we want to sidestep in the first place.
Although, if anybody wants to get me a nice pair of nail-bound woolen socks for Christmas, yes, please.
Has it reached the age where socks are an eligible gift now?
Yes, yeah, socks are an eligible gift. But that also shows a certain level of nerdery here, where it's like, don't get people socks. I'm like, whoa, 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 hold on here. Are we talking like, you know, medieval nail-bound wool socks? Then yes, get me those socks.
There you go. Yeah, null binding is very interesting. I like the way it kind of reminds me of the way chainmail was drawn.
Yeah.
I don't use the evil word. But, you know, the drawing of that with, like, the distinct rows being almost like bands and not so much like links. That's in some artwork. Null binding looks like that a lot. I like the way null binding
looks. Null binding looks the way mail was drawn. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I know.
So, speaking of sort of clothing accessories like that, though, for the Viking in your life, get them the winningas, the leg wraps. Find them a nice fancy pair of winningas with the hooks that they can latch them on there. Those would make great stocking stuffers for somebody with a Viking or that era Scandinavian portrayal.
I have two comments. One, I now have to redact my original statement that we are in fact going to be effectively recommending socks.
Yes.
Because that's two now. Two things that are pretty much socks. And I'm glad that I finally heard someone pronounce that out loud, because I've read that word for years.
Oh, do not quote me.
Is that just winging it right there?
Yes, I was winging winningas. Vinegas? I honestly haven't
the foggiest. I've never even tried. I don't do Viking stuff, so I've never had a reason to give it a shot.
I think it's winningas. I have no... I'm going to Google right now.
Oh, yeah. They remind me of those leg wraps from World War II. Or one, sorry.
They do, first yes. One.
Just by two that people were using, like, button and zip-up garters. What do you call them? Gaiters,
yeah, there you go. I have no idea what you're talking about.
So, badge of honor when you can confuse Google. I have befuddled the sum total of all intelligence on Earth.
It's like... How to pronounce Winnipeg. It's like, no, it's not Winnipeg. Come on.
Yeah, that one I'm familiar with.
Anyways, Viking leg wraps.
Yes, Viking leg wraps. And so you're talking about how they have little hooks to pin them on. A really good thing. We've talked about a lot of things here that are sort of vaguely unisex, but women will use this a lot more, and people just don't think to gift it, is that all the veiling that women have to do, they need pins and needles. And so there are some really beautiful ornamental pins, like hair pins for keeping veils up, that you can get the lady reenactor in your life. And they're made from just sort of like how the arming points are on the spectrum of, you can get them really simple, you can get them really fancy, you can get them by the bulk, you can get them individually. Those are something that you can really tailor how many you want to get.
Yeah, I think armor and castings had some really nice ones with, like, glass beads at the top.
Yeah, they do. They have a lot of nice everything. In fact, I need to get around to doing it. I am going to be ordering a brooch from them that I'm going to use to replace the brooch on the front of my hat. I just need to get around to doing it.
Speaking of glass beads, Vikings, Scandinavian era, of a certain era, women, of course, had those. They called turtle brooch bead chains that hung across their chests. You can get either one of those fully made, or you can just, there are places that do replica glass beads that sell them, so they could make their own if they're crafty like that.
And a crafty person can also use beads to ornament hats and clothing. If you know someone who's been itching to upgrade something by bedazzling it, effectively you can use semi-precious stones that are cut with holes in them so that you can tie them to things. And they're very popular as a way, you know, pearling and beading on hats and gowns and things was very popular in the Middle Ages.
So I make a lot of bicockets myself, because I like having a lot of bicockets. I like hats. Something I think would be awesome, if somebody could find me a super long pheasant feather to put on my bicocket. That would be amazing, like one of those golden pheasant feathers that like 4 feet long. That'd be amazing.
I don't think I have a 4 foot long one, but I have a bunch of pheasant feathers.
Oh,
let me go look. I might send that to you. There, I found my stocking stuffer. I know I have them from the last pheasant we had for Thanksgiving dinner, I know I saved a bunch of the tail feathers because they were pretty, and I never did anything with them. So I'll see if I have the super duper duper long ones or not.
For the medieval bibliophile, that's book lover in your life, a girdle book is a cool little book. It's basically, it's a leather bound book that has this tail off the end of it that's knotted, and you tuck it into your belt, and you like fold it over your belt and tuck it in. That's what keeps the book hanging from your belt. That's just a cool little thing that'd be make an awesome gift.
That's true. And you could put little journals in there, because a lot of them are like, they have like a little leather case, if it were thinking about the same thing.
Yes.
Right. And then so you can put like a journal in there. A lot of times they were used for Book of Hours, if you want to go super authentic on what you would expect to have inside one of those. But I mean, you could even, I've seen people make cell phones that, or rather make the leather book box that looks like it has a book in it, but fit their cell phone. So that they have a place to store their cell phone in plain sight.
And they can sneakily take, some of them have like little pinholes near the camera so they can sneakily take event pictures without ruining the mood.
That's right. That'd be fun. That'd be cool. I know people in World War II reenacting have hidden digital cameras inside by the outside of a period camera, but they've gutted it either because they didn't know how to use it or it was already broken. And they have hidden digital cameras inside the housings of
cameras,
which is a pretty neat idea. But to be able to like hide it in, I've never found a suitable way to hide a phone camera or any kind of camera. At some point, if I'm taking photographs, I'm just kind of giving up, because in that moment, even the pose, even if I've hidden it, like the taking picture pose is, there's really no way to explain away why you're standing like that. If someone else were to take a photo of you taking a photo of somebody else, even if you'd hidden the phone, it'd still look anachronistic.
Yeah.
So I just threw in the towel on that one. Oh, another thing that hangs off belts, you know, we wear pouches a lot, especially men do, but you see a lot of depictions of women wearing silk purses, and they're made of like brocade fabric, and they've got little tassels on them. And a lot of people sell those soft purses that can hang off of a belt that's an alternative for a female impression to wearing a leather pouch that they may or may not have as commonly worn. And they're fairly small and easy to pack into it.
And you see depictions of men. You see depictions of men wearing the same thing. It's in reenactment, the kidney, the kidney pouch, as we call it, has become like the de facto reenactment pouch. Everybody has a kidney pouch. And while you do see them a lot in artwork for a certain time period, you know, a lot of the times they're wearing the same type of that little purse or little pouch, especially if they're dressed in their fancy upper society clothes. They're not wearing the big kidney pouches. They're wearing those little pouches hanging off. So it's good for both men and women. And
there seems to be a lot of, I think there seems to be a lot more overlap in at least the accoutrement that men and women wore, because you look, there's houppelands of effectively the same cut and style on men and women, men wearing long robes that really, if you didn't call them a robe, they'd be the same thing as a dress. And, you know, men and women wearing bicockets, men and women have a lot of the same styles that they go to over and over. So many of these things, even if we maybe project a little more of a gendered lens on them, are fairly unisex and available for anybody to use if they want to, because there's a lot of examples of many of these things being worn by both sides of the aisle.
It's true. Let's see, what else you got? What else are you thinking of?
Spoons.
Spoons, yes.
That's my Irish grandmother in me saying, you know, always, you know, fancy spoons. And honestly, you got to eat. At some point, someone's going to have to eat something, and you know, you can bring a piece of flatware that looks okay-ish, or you can have a cool cast pewter spoon with an acorn on top, or one they've got like little people's heads on them. They're really goofy looking sometimes, and they're fun. There's even like later period ones that fold up. There's a lot of fun spoons that aren't just horn spoons or, you know, hopefully not looked at closely pewter spoons that are old timey looking. And so I think spoons are a great little gift.
Two years ago through the Tramp of Terror, you ran the Secret Santa.
I do plan on doing that again to run the Secret Santa.
Get on that. I will. Because it was great fun, and actually I took part in it and received I think it was from Ben Bruce from Pursuing the Nightly Arts channel there. He sent me this great pewter spoon and a archer's pilgrim badge. So it was a lot of fun. It was great to get something like that.
My idea was to focus on that after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday of the year, and I don't do much outside of the cooking and the spending time with family during the Thanksgiving time. But then I'd be back on the wagon. I definitely want to start that earlier than I did last year, because it was kind of like a shotgun idea. Like, woohoo, let's do this. We're all stuck separated from each other. And it's definitely going in keeping with my idea of, hey, like, we shouldn't lose the good things we got from going digital just because we can go back to in person a lot more than we did before. And so I do have every intention of running the Tournament of Terror Secret Santa again this year.
Awesome. I was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing that. So
I'm glad you liked it. I mean, for all the random, let's do this spur of the moment ideas, the fact that you know, people enjoyed it as much as they did was very heartening.
Let's see. What's another couple of cool, small things that people can give?
Grooming items like combs. Yeah, there's some really cool looking like wooden and bone combs. And I like how a lot of those combs are kind of rectangular, but they've got like the thick gaps on one side and the thin gaps on the other side, very much like a modern comb has it, but like the left half is thin, the right half, I guess left and right, you flip it over, it's left and right again. But one half of the comb has thicker, wider tines. I don't know what you call the sticker. The
teeth? Things on the comb.
Teeth? Ooh, okay. But they also, I know that in the 19th century, they would use things like manicured baleen as combs and a lot of boar's hair for brushes that are, people still use boar's hair sometimes today. So there's a lot of like combing and brushing and people, you know, going back to the whole myth busting of the medieval person never bathed, never groomed. There was actually a huge hygiene culture and it was important to be brushed and washed, especially near the end of the medieval period. So, you know, getting some of those hygiene items are fun. You can even make a lot of fun out of it. You can get chewing sticks, you know, instead of toothpaste, you got the chewing sticks and things like that. So there's a lot of fun you can do in like the little hygiene kits that you can put together for people.
Speaking of sticks, something I got last year, not for Christmas, I just bought it last year, is basically a medieval whisk. And it's literally just a bunch of very, very thin sticks tied together and it works great. But that was like $12, I think, off of Etsy. So it's another cool for the medieval cook in your life. Get them some cool sort of cooking implements like that. Even if it's just small, interesting things.
Huh. I didn't know. I've never seen that before. That's pretty neat.
I don't know if it's actually medieval. I mean, it was coming from a shop that had other more documentable stuff. So, I don't know if it is actually something that was medieval or not, but it seemed plausible to me and it works. Like I said, it works great. So, I mean, they had to whisk things somehow.
That's true. You know, that's what, yes, scullery servants were for.
Yeah.
But, light. And in various, I think this category includes a lot of different things because, you know, you can get things like candle holders that are kind of small, especially like the ones that stick in a table, not like a full lantern. But even like fire lighting tools or char kits, there's a lot of small little itty bitty things that go along with illumination that you can definitely. I know that there is a shop on Etsy that sells one of those wax wick ball things. It's like you think of a yarn ball, but the yarn ball is made out of like intensely waxed. You think of like an arming point can be waxed and it's stiffer. Think if you like put that on steroids and then you rolled that up into a ball, you light the end and it just sits there. And as it burns down, you unroll it and push some more up and you've got this little ball of it's this little fireball. I don't know what it's called. I'd have to go find it again, but you can find lots of little things to light. There's those little, what are they? Little basins, little oil basins. Oh, yeah. I have one of them. They're made from terracotta. You put a wick down in them. I used a mop string, but it worked really well. And you get a lot of light out of them, especially if you burn two or three wicks going all at the same time. And they're really nice. I guess it depends on how safe you feel inside your tent, or maybe you want to put it on the pole of like a easier or an awning outside. Is they make these iron work hinge things that are not hinge, but hangers. Hmm. And but the end is sort of like corkscrewed in a way that you can wrap it around a pole and hang it up so it can hold in the like 3 feet up off the ground of a pole without having to like actually hammer into the wood. Those things are cool.
That sounds neat. Huh.
They're small enough. Though at that point, those things that are like handwork wrought iron are kind of, they're a little more expensive.
And then, of course, we can get into the bigger ticket items. If somebody really wants to, you know, go crazy, you can get the daggers. You can get the, mm-hmm. the go get a sword, get him a sword. Never go wrong with getting him a sword.
Yeah, I'd never say no to a sword, though it doesn't necessarily fit into a stocking.
It isn't necessarily stocking stuffers.
That's true. I can make but a sword. You know, a dagger does. Now, if there was like the rondelle of a Todd's Workshop dagger sticking out of the top of my stocking, that would be.
Arya would faint. Arya would faint. Come downstairs, just be like, Santa's real.
Topple right over.
See, I can make a sword. That would do it right there. I can make a sword fit in the stocking. You just take it out of the scabbard and you shove it into the stocking. And if it's a good sword, it'll go right through the bottom of the stocking.
Right on
and
there the you bottom. Go. Right. Or I was going to say, you just get like a really big Dr. Seuss-esque stocking, like gigantic stocking.
I think it'd be funnier to come down and there's just like a sword,
this hole in the middle
of the stock. All the other little things like the candy and stuff's just on the floor under the stocking, and the sword's just sticking down through the stocking.
Oh, that would be magic.
For some things that aren't necessarily used for reenacting, you know, ornaments are always cool to have. Little things.
I do have a really cool. Like, it's a stack of helmets, stocking, or ornament. I like it a lot. It's made of resin. I think she probably found it on Bud K or something like that. But it's cool looking. I like it a lot.
There was a company that does replica grave brasses that sell. They also sell ornaments of some of the brasses. So you can actually have the you know, a little brass. Nothing says Merry Christmas like having a little brass dead medieval person hanging from your tree.
I like depictions of dead people. That is what that says right there.
Oh, but they are cool. Yeah,
I was gonna say medieval themed. If we're backing away from things that necessarily work specifically for like living history, a lot of the illuminations that were on books or maybe even were actual tapestries themselves, you can find reproductions that are like printed. And those would make nice wall hangings for people's medieval-esque decor in their home, even if they're not actually woven like a tapestry. And I'm certain you can find those, too. You're talking about expensive. But I know I have a couple that are like hand towel-sized reprints of various illuminations or tapestries that are really nice. And you can get like mini bayou tapestries and stuff like that, which would look really nice. And they definitely would fulfill the medieval interest of your favorite reenactor.
Oh, speaking about like, you know, like little artwork things, like playing cards. Lots of places make replica playing cards. Those are fun to have if you're at camp and it's night and things are winding down. You're like, hey, anybody want to play a game of cards? There you just, you take out your medieval playing cards and there you go. Dice. I got a great
dice and other like board games. I know there's a lot of people that will sell like board games where the board markers are like drawn or burnt into like leather. So they're like these, they look rustic and they're easy to put away. Absolutely.
I got a great
games of all sorts.
I got a great set of wooden dice a few years ago that came in like this little horn cup. I love them.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. And then you have the people who don't have anything for their table. You go back to lighting and feasting and spoons, you know, napkins and tablecloths and things that they can use to sort of round out. Because there seems to be a lot of like wash your hands, dry your hands going on in medieval feasts. You know, you look at like the rules for your formal feasts and such. So getting people things like that, those are small and easy to get kinds of things that will help people out.
Yeah, that'd be, you know, I don't have any tablecloths or napkins or anything like that myself. I need to fix that.
I have some. Confession time, they're from Walmart, but they look good enough, and if I get them all super dirty, I won't cry too hard because they just came from Walmart. But they the thing is that they all have, and I don't think they intended it to be medieval. I think they just picked a pattern out of the something that was easy to print. But when you go and look at, like, Historic Enterprises has some table linens and things that have these, like, sort of blue edge border patterns on them. And these, I have a set that are, like, blue and red, and they look very similar. It's just, it's this, you know, geometric patterns. At some point, you're going to, it's not like, you can't think of them again. So they just have that, they do have that look. And they didn't realize they were creating a medieval look at all. But they definitely, when they are disguised amongst all the other material culture, they definitely blend right in.
But you can find some things like that in a lot of places. I got a set of glassware from Target that actually are very, they're very reminiscent of a late 14th century glassware. They've got sort of this bumped up design, you know, circling around them. So in the dark, when they're full of something, they're a little big, but at the same time, they look close enough that they sort of blend in, and nobody's gonna notice. And again, they're from Target, so you don't really care if something happens and one of them gets broken while you're out and about.
That's true. And I found that if you go to like the Goodwill or City Thrift or Savers or whatever your favorite thrift store is, and you can go to their pewter section, and there's a lot of things that kind of they pass the arm's reach test, where, you know, a pewter glass or a pewter goblet can definitely, unless it's got too much of that, you know, High Edwardian engraving on it, can really sort of blend in. I know all my pewter plates that I have right now for eating off of are things that I have found at various thrift stores in their pewter colored section, because I know most of the thrift stores out here anyway seem to order their knickknacks and bric-a-brac by color. They color code them all together. So you'll find them, like, mixed in amongst the skillets and gravy boats, but you'll find these, you know, cool little goblets or cups or plates or things like that.
Huh. Neat. I don't know really what the hell they order things out here. it's been years since I've been into a Goodwill, I will be perfectly honest. But not that there's anything against it, it's just I haven't needed to go into a Goodwill. But yeah, always great. You know, all these suggestions we have for things like that, you don't necessarily have to buy brand new. You can go and do stuff like that and just find cool things that you know will work. Again, talk to the group that the person you're buying for is in, because they may say, well, this will work and that won't work. And, you know, and who knows? Or maybe if you think the person would like it anyways, get it from anyways.
Of course.
When in doubt, gift certificates are...
You know, you read my mind. I was just about to say that.
Gift certificates are always... always welcome.
And those are a great way to deal with bigger items or more custom items. And if you're worried that, so you don't want to buy this person a male shirt because you don't know if it's going to fit, or you don't want to get them a Viking shirt and they're supposed to have like a half shirt because they have plate armor and you just don't understand. And you're like, oh, that looks middle ages-ish. And then they're stuck with this galvanized butted male piece of unwearable, but well thought out gift. So something you can always do, of course, is just get them a gift certificate, get them cash towards their next big purchase, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, if you're one thing you can do, if you're, you know, you can help, like, say you're in a, say your spouse just wants a new suit of armor, a new piece of armor, and, you know, maybe your gift is reordering your household's budgetary savings goals to, like, better accommodate that. I mean, you know, these are things that you can do without having to physically have an object that you may or may not understand, or they have to go get fitted, and then where's the surprise in that if you just sent them off to the armor, you know? So
we're just gonna go take a drive to New Jersey and visit Jeff Wasson.
Yeah. Right. Why? Like, why, honey, why are we going to Iowa? Yeah. Like, I'm gonna figure that one out pretty quick. I have nothing else in Iowa except for Josh Davis. So
that's
not true. Todd lives there too.
Oh, he does. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, whatever you do, though, don't do what I did. Make sure if you plan on doing a gift certificate, make sure the company that you promise a gift certificate from actually does gift certificates. I found out the hard way that Todd Cutler does not do gift certificates.
Oh, okay.
So just something to know. I promise. I ran a promotion through Instagram where I'm like, hey, once we get to 300 followers, I'm going to, you know, give somebody a Todd Cutler gift certificate for, you know, $25 or something like that. And then I did the drawing and I'm like, okay, you won. And I'm like, oh, dang it. I should have checked beforehand to make sure that he actually did. I swore he did. I really swore he did. I thought he did. So
I believed you. I had no idea. I've never checked. So I assumed that it was so. That's interesting. Yeah. At that point, you're just going to have to like, I don't know, just give him, give Todd the money and hope. I guess that's how it gets. Works.
I guess so.
I guess give the person the money and hope they buy from Todd.
I guess so. But
and now keep in mind that you have all these ideas out here, and in the end you're gift giving because you have someone in your life that you care about and you want to get them something they like. So yeah, gifts when they're surprises are nice, but never, and I guess this is my personal philosophy, but at some point don't be shy to just ask them what they want. Like, who's going to know better than they are, right? And so one thing I really find useful in my life is things like Amazon wish lists.
Yep.
You just take the guessing out of it. And yeah, they know what they're going to get on a list of 12 items, but it's still what's more important, not knowing what they're going to get or receiving something and all of the emotional rider on top of a gift, which is, you know, me thinking about you and caring about enriching your life and all the other stuff that it doesn't matter what the vessel is, but the purpose is to share these moments between people. So, you know, just ask. I mean, I'm certain, trust me, if anyone says, what kind of medieval thing do you want? They've already have like a 65 item, $70,000 list in their head, you know? They're going to be able to give you ideas and choices. So
asking is great. And if you out there would like to give us a gift, go give us 5 stars on whatever you listen to us on.
That's absolutely, that's all we want is 5 stars.
All we want for Christmas is 5 stars from you.
5 stars. That's right.
Now set that to a Mariah Carey song. All we want for Christmas is 5 stars.
This is why we don't do karaoke.
I just got an idea.
Uh-oh. I think I've made a mistake.
No, we leave the music to Paul Butler.
That's true. And we do appreciate Paul Butler allowing us to use his music as part of our intro here for this show. And so, hey, a Christmas gift we didn't talk about, but realistically we should have, is that Paul Butler does sell his music by the album.
Oh, there you go.
Website. So getting people medieval music is something that, you know, it fits in a stocking, and it's something they can take with them when they are not living history-ing. They're not out there. They can still listen to it in their car. They can put it in their phone. So medieval music, that's a great stocking stuffer. And if you do need to buy any medieval music, I do recommend you support Paul Butler. His music's great.
Yes, support him. He's a good friend. Well.
All right.
I think
I have just generated both. I have generated a lot of good ideas for myself to work on in the future.
So there you go.
If nothing else, it was very cathartic for me. Like, I know, I'm all primed. Need to go online and burn my card.
If any of you out there have ideas for things we didn't mention, drop them in the comment section when this gets posted, and we'd love to see your ideas. Join the conversation with us.
Absolutely. And if you get somebody something really nice and they have a really enjoyable experience, you can always, you know, talk about it and then send us the voice clip on through an email to howtomedieval@gmail.com. We'll be able to play that on the show. You know, especially if you had no idea what you wanted to buy someone and we gave you the idea and it turned out really well, we'd love to hear about it.
Yes, we would.
All right. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks, folks.